It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
A couple of you have asked about the spelling of the name of this woman accusing Joe Biden of sexual abuse, of rape, whatever you want to call it. Tara, T-A-R-A, Reed, I believe, R-E-A-D-E. I believe that's it. If I'm mispronouncing it, I stand corrected, and somebody will undoubtedly do that, all right? And then also, it just occurred to me that I may have a time bugaboo going on tomorrow. We've had to move Steve Hilton from 1 o'clock today to tomorrow. However, I think at the same time at 1 o'clock tomorrow, we also have Dr. Joseph Penbera booked, which we are not going to miss. So I'm fixing all of that now so we can have them both on and not miss out on the wisdom of either. Okay? All right. That's important stuff, especially during these economic times when Dr. Penbera is able to give us some time. That's just amazing stuff. Joe Scarborough, MSNBC, said that Governor Greg Abbott's negligence was to blame for the shooting that took place on Saturday at that outlet mall in his state. And then there was another deadly incident involving a man who drove his vehicle into a crowd of migrants, arguing that Abbott was refusing to protect Texans. What's he supposed to do? Put on a uniform, get out of his wheelchair, and, you know, clone himself to be a whole flotilla of cops? I don't understand what this idiot is talking about. Listen to this.
U.S. has by far the highest child and teen firearm mortality rate among peer countries. Our little children are being slaughtered, and Greg Abbott has nothing to say about it. He just wants to change the subject. But after Greg Abbott cynically, cruelly looked at a rampage inside of a home where children, a child and his mother and family slaughtered by an AR-15. And yes, an illegal immigrant. The question is, how did he get that AR-15? The governor cynically and cruelly focused on the immigration status of these poor people and that little boy that were slaughtered and called them illegal immigrants. Mm. Right off the top, just inhumane. But you wanted to focus on that, illegal immigrants. So is it any surprise that we have migrants being run over? Since with this sort of lack of leadership, this sort of cynicism, this sort of hatred in Texas, is it any surprise that we have migrants on Sunday morning, some of them probably going to church, getting run over while they're waiting for a bus? Or that we have neo-Nazi sympathizers, possible white supremacists going to malls to gun down other people? I mean, there is a sickness in the state of Texas, and that sickness starts at the very top with Greg Abbott, who refuses to protect little children in the state of Texas, whether it's at school or whether it's at church or whether it's at shopping malls or even inside their own homes.
Oh, my God. That is so far off the mark. I don't even know how the guy still has a job. Yeah, the neo-Nazi. He was a neo-Nazi, all right. The guy that did the thing in the shopping center. Absolute neo-Nazi. A Latino neo-Nazi. Not a white supremacist. He is a brown-skinned neo-Nazi who gave praise to the transsexual in Nashville, who killed all of the kids in the private Christian school. And, of course, the other one that he was talking about was the illegal alien who had been tossed out of the country five times, who killed five of his neighbors because the neighbors said, shut up, your gunfire's keeping the baby awake. And he did not use the term illegal alien when talking about the deceased. No, he did not. He used the proper term, which was, I think, undocumented. I think that was it. So, I mean, but according to Scarborough, the fact that he used undocumented to describe the 9-year-old that was killed was more heinous than the individual who had the AR-15, who was an illegal alien who was thrown out five times, killing that family. And I want to know where he got the weapon. It was stolen. He didn't buy it legally. He couldn't buy it legally in that state. So it was ripped off, and we already know that too. So everything that he left out in that was so disingenuous, so wrong, so misleading. You know, it just, I'm amazed. What color is the sun in their world? You know, how can they be so wrong on something where the facts are just so outlandishly out there? And, you know, I mean, they are what they are, but they change them to fit their narrative. Period. End of statement. Now, Title 42 is also going to go down this week. That's going to be the next big one. That is being called, there's speculation here, I hope they're wrong, by individuals running shelters, by the Red Cross, by the Border Patrol, by a number of different people in a capacity to take care of these individuals that want to come into the country. The biggest humanitarian crisis ever in this country. That's what they're expecting to happen on Thursday, is it, when Title 42 goes down? Now, the California approach to the end of Title 42 differs from all of the other border states. You know, all three border states are taking very different approaches on how to address this anticipated surge of migrants. 700,000 migrants. 700,000. Now, the immigration expert Elaine Wood says she thinks California is going to be in a bit of a wait-and-see approach. Oh, smart. In Texas, the governor is going ahead and saying, look, we need to have the National Guard down there and others to, you know, to defend the public safety. California Governor Gavin Newsom has not announced National Guard troops will be deployed to the border or anything. This is quite a different tactic from Governor Abbott. And, you know, Newsom has been all over Abbott this week with all kinds of nasty words. But Abbott announced the creation of the Texas Tactical Border Force, which will deploy National Guard members to the hot spots along the border to turn back migrants trying to enter the U.S. illegally. Texas has an ability to secure the border ourselves. If we're acting in isolation, we would secure the border. This was at a press conference from Abbott on Monday, yesterday. Now, the border state governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, has not yet deactivated the National Guard, but said she's prepared to do so if needed. This was during a press conference addressing her plan of attack to the end of Title 42. She said that she is pressuring the federal government for more resources. The best he can do is 1,200 National Guard people down to that border to act in a secretarial capacity, he being the president. The San Diego grant program to give some families and seniors 4,000 found out if you qualify, if you live alone, and if this is something that, well, let me back up a little bit. As we've done before, I'm prepared to take executive action. We will activate state resources as needed, and we have the access and resources as necessary that includes but not as limited to sending the National Guard down there, to what Hobbs said. Now, the reason I brought up the San Diego grant program here in California that's handing out $4,000 increments to seniors and individuals if they qualify, apparently the governor's putting the ice on that particular money, on that particular program, to use for anything that may happen on the border if there's a problem. Oh, sorry, that was a little out of context. But other than that, he's not announced any plans for the end of Title 42 or to implement any additional actions on the border. So, I mean, he says it comes down to kind of a political fight, and we'll wait and see what happens and what could be a humanitarian crisis. That makes a lot of sense. So the only thing I can hope is it just doesn't become as violent as some people are predicting. And again, some of these, you know, predictions, Red Cross, Border Patrol, all of that, the biggest humanitarian crisis that the United States has ever seen, they won't elaborate on why they think that or, you know, what that may be. But when you're looking at a throng of 700,000 that is waiting to get in, that's kind of scary. that's more than scary. And like I said earlier, between now and then, I have no clue what can be done to, you know, stop that unless there's some sort of legal action to keep Title 42 in place. But it's the president who's letting this thing go down. This is all Biden's act here. This is going to be in his lap if it turns out to be what these individuals with all of these agencies and these shelters are saying, that this is going to be the worst humanitarian crisis ever, ever, ever. Well, guess who's to blame? Because he's the one letting this go. We'll take a break here at KMJ. comments. You want to follow up? 490-5858. There's a bit more to be said about California's plan, too. 800-776-5858. We shall return on News Talk 580, 105.9, KMJ. Stay put.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton. Now.
Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
I just quickly want to go back to this noise that Joe Scarborough made about the individual who shot up the Allen Premium outlets. 33 years old, a Latino male, who murdered several people on Saturday at the outlets I just mentioned. He was an avowed neo-Nazi who praised the transgender terrorist who murdered several people at the Christian school in Nashville. The killer had a social media account on the Russian social media site, which I couldn't even begin to pronounce. The account, which was first reported by the New York Times and later identified by researchers at another online publication, appears to have been created back in 2020 with this guy. And Daily Wire reviewed his social media page, which appeared to have been used more as kind of a diary than anything else. He apparently didn't have a lot of friends and received, you know, no engagement, if anything, on his posts. Nobody responded to him. But again, a neo-Nazi. The police are confirming, the authorities, that he had all of this stuff in his home. He shared photographs of himself that showed that he had a large collection of Nazi memorabilia, had a huge Nazi swastika tattoo on his chest, another tattoo of the SS lightning bolts on the side of his arm. He shared photographs of the SS lightning bolts and, you know, Nazi swastikas all over social media. He shared photographs of Latinos who had a Nazi-themed wedding in Mexico. My kind of people, he put under the picture of the photo. And he shared photographs of a Mexican Nazi group that also described them as my kind of people. This is Joe Scarborough's idea of a white nationalist, as he said. He also shared a lot of photographs of Dr. Mengele, the angel of death, at the Auschwitz extermination camp. I mean, this guy was all in. A real sickie. All in. All in. And but this, according to Scarborough, is all the fault of the governor because he doesn't do a good job protecting the people of Texas. Amazing. Very quickly, I got to get this story in today. Rashida Tlaib. We haven't talked about her in a long time. She's a real piece of work. One of the squad members, of course. She's a Michigan congressman, far left, as you know, facing a ton of backlash as it was revealed that she's hosting a congressional event to mark the Palestinian Nakba, N-A-K-B-A, catastrophe. That's a term used by Palestinians to refer to the creation of the Jewish state of Israel. Now, Tlaib is a third-term member of Congress, long accused of anti-American and anti-Israel rhetoric, scheduled to host a congressional event this week to commemorate this catastrophe of Israel's establishment. The event is set to take place at the Capitol Visitor Center tomorrow. It features numerous anti-Israel organizations and co-sponsors, including the very radical Engage Action and Americans for Justice in Palestinian Action. The invitation for the function, which lists Tlaib as a special guest, accuses Zionist militias and the new Israel military of violating expelled approximately three-quarters of all Palestinians from their homes and homeland in what has become the state of Israel, to uplift experiences of Palestinians who underwent the catastrophe and educate the members of Congress and their staff about the history and the ongoing catastrophe to which Israel continues to subject Palestinians. We've partnered together to host congressional and community educational events to be followed immediately afterwards by a nice dinner. It concludes. Oh, my God. You know, the Republican Jewish Coalition noted that the anti-Semitic Democrat Tlaib would be hosting the event, highlighting how these are ascendant anti-Israel voices in the Democratic Party, and House Democrats continue to pathetically coddle them. She's used all kinds of anti-Semitic language, is hosting the event to attack Israel with groups that defend terrorism and support the anti-Semitic BDS movement. That's coming from Rona McDaniel, who's, you know, the head of the RNC. It's outrageous. You know, we condemn this completely. Republicans stand with Israel. I think most Americans stand with Israel. But she's free to do this, and more power to her, you know. I just hope she can appreciate the error of her ways down the road, and after she thinks about this a little bit, it's absolutely the wrong thing to do. But that's Rashida Tlaib, you know what I mean? Yeah. Let's see. Michael just sent me something I want to share with you. This is so cool. If you happen to be a nurse, a healthcare worker, and if you can prove it, you got your uniform on, you've got your ID or whatever, there is a particular place in town. I've eaten there before. It's Indian-style pizza. It's called curry pizza. They take Indian spices and they incorporate it into a pizza. It's damn good. It's really, really good. And to you know, basically celebrate you individuals who are in the healthcare business, you got a free pizza. Let's see. I'm going to try and read this. It's a little dark here. The Curry Pizza Company in Fresno wants to celebrate National Nurses Week by giving away free pizza to healthcare workers. This is from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. today at the two locations. And you just got to prove that you're in the biz and you've got free curry pizza. Remember who told you. Share. Drop a little one off, you know, while you're heading home with your free pizza if you happen to be a healthcare worker. I think that's very cool. So bravo to Curry Pizza for doing this for our healthcare workers as we celebrate National Nurses Week. Good for them. It's like, is it a free medium pizza, Michael? Was that it? Man, that's cool. When you say pizza, you're talking my name. I eat much more than I should. You know, it's not the most dietetic thing in the world. Juan Williams. Now, you all know who Juan Williams is. He's a liberal who works for Fox News. I'm going to say this. I like Juan Williams. He's been in this studio. He's been on the air with me a couple of times. We've been out socially. He's a good guy. We just don't agree politically. But I like Juan. He gave an impassioned defense of President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and the president as well. But the former House Speaker, Newt Gingrich, quickly kind of settled the score. Both Williams and Gingrich joined the host, what's her name? Shannon Bream, for the panel discussion portion of the Sunday morning show, and the temperature around the table really heated up when the topic turned to Biden. This is something that I don't know why Juan Williams is so sensitive about the Biden family, but he goes, anyway, it's a fact, Juan, that there were $3 million, it's been disclosed, that went to the Biden family from a Chinese billionaire. Williams began acknowledging the younger Biden's personal issues, particularly with drugs and sex, and argued that, you know, despite the situation being less than optimal, the only thing he believed Joe Biden was truly guilty of was trying to help and protect his son. I think it's probably a little deeper than that. You know, we know Hunter Biden is an addict. We know he's an alcoholic. We know he's had sexual addiction problems. We know he's not the son you would like to have. But Joe Biden acted as a father, trying to protect his son and trying to help his son. And I don't think anyone's going to fault him for that. So says Juan Williams. Now, what else was said? What was the response from Newt Gingrich, who kind of shut him down in five words? Can you wait?
The Ray Appleton Podcast. Wait now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Got it settled. Tomorrow at 12 noon, Dr. Joseph Penbarra will be on KMJ for an hour of economy lessons like only he can give. And during these times, sweet Lord, do we need it. He is the best in the world as far as I'm concerned. So that's a segment you got to hear. We'll be following that with Steve Hilton, who has moved from today to tomorrow at 1. So that works out perfectly. I thought I was going to have to dump one of them, and I just was not going to do that. So we're in great shape. We're in great shape. Now, getting back to this conversation between Juan Williams and Newt Gingrich on Fox. And, you know, Juan Williams was really defending Hunter Biden, really defending Joe Biden. And he went on to say, but you compare that to the graft and the grifting from the Trump golf courses, the Trump hotels, never proven, the Chinese shoe deals with his daughter, never proven, and the son-in-law getting billions from the Saudis, never proven. It's unbelievable, Williams continued, immediately pivoting to turn, you know, the attack on the former president. Even this week, you have to compare it to the trouble we've heard in New York with his sexual assault case, which you know the result of that, against Trump. But this is what Hunter Biden has come to now. He's a distraction. He's a shield against all the trouble that Trump is experiencing. Gingrich pushed back, arguing that the lucrative international business deals to which multiple members of the Biden family, the president included, have been connected, should not be brushed aside so easily. Quote, there are facts. The widow of the Moscow mayor sent millions of dollars to Hunter Biden. True. We know this. He got money from Kazakhstan. He got money from Ukraine and served on a board on which he knew nothing. He got a lot of money from China, and it's a fact. Juan, there was $3 million that's been disclosed that went to the Biden family from a Chinese billionaire. This is one the DOJ is having a hard time with right now. They know it's a fact, but they don't know what to do with it. Now, you can decide that none of this stuff matters, but the fact is you have a vice president of the United States taking his son on Air Force 2 into China, where his son is making business deals, and you just described his son, your language, as a sex addict, as an alcoholic. Williams jumped back and said, is that an attack on the president? He's not the president. He's the son. Nepotism is not a crime. You look at the nepotism in every president and every famous family, but that's not a crime. And then Shannon Bream interjected, noting that, you know, members of both the Trump family and the Biden family had been targets of accusations of regarding nepotism, and asked whether a double standard might be at play. Juan Williams said, look, I think you have a son. You got Joe Biden's son, Hunter, who might, you know, have some business deals. Newt describes this as millions flowing into the family, kind of amorphous, but I know specifically of $2 million that went to Jared Kushner, and nobody's going to argue about that. But Gingrich was not convinced, and he said that based upon Williams' own description of Hunter Biden, no serious business was going to invest in him unless they thought they could use him to get something better. And here's the five words that shut the whole thing down. They were investing in Joe. And then it got very quiet after that point. They were investing in Joe. And there's not much that can be said to deflect that, because they indeed were investing in Joe. This is what they wanted. And this now we've got these, and I think I talked about it earlier, but we've got these new bribery allegations that were brought to the Justice Department by the whistleblower in 2018 against the president. And those allegations were ignored. But Sunday, they've come back to life, and I told you about how they're going to be coupled up with the Oversight Committee and James Comer on the current whistleblower allegations against the president of the United States. You know, I mean, it never ends with this particular president. And I don't know what else to say, you know? It's just every day there's something. Every day there is something involving the Biden family. And it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. You can say all of this and all of that doesn't look good with Donald Trump. He's been accused of so many millions and jillions of things that he's never been convicted of, you know? And to be, you know, impeached twice, once as a former president, where did that come from? That wasn't even legal. But that was a dog and pony show to get ABC television some ratings, and it didn't. So that didn't work. What time we got? Oh, we got a few more minutes. There's still so many things. I mean, all this week, I'm stacking stories here that I want to talk about that, you know, I don't have the time to get into. Ron DeSantis, I got to give him credit here very quickly. He took his war, he doesn't like the Chinese Communist Party at all. He took it to a new level this week, the war, when he signed like three bills into law that severely restrict the CCC's ability to acquire land in the state of Florida, cracking down on the CCP's, Chinese Communist Party's, data collection of U.S. citizens, and ban the Chinese Communist Party influence from the education system. These are three new bills signed into law yesterday, a package the governor's office called the strongest legislation in the nation to date to counteract the influence in the United States and the greatest economic, strategic, and security threat, the Chinese Communist Party. I agree, they are. A Chinese think tank designated DeSantis as amongst the five most aggressive governors in the USA. That's a compliment, I would think, against the communist nation back in 2019, several months before the coronavirus pandemic erupted, courtesy of China. Since then, DeSantis has continued to take a very aggressive approach to China. But it's a trio of new laws that very quickly prevents Chinese entities or affiliates from buying farmland in Florida or near our military bases and, you know, critical infrastructure, and stops sensitive data from being stored on servers that might be owned by entities affiliated with the CCP, prohibits the Chinese influence when we rooted out of a higher education, there was influence in there, according to these are the words of DeSantis, from working its way into Florida's primary and secondary education institutions. What that was, I don't know, but I would sure like to know. I wish there was more elaboration on that. And blocks access to dangerous applications such as TikTok on government and educational institutional servers and devices. That's the way it should be. TikTok is very dangerous. So is Zoom. Don't use Zoom. It, too, is Chinese spyware. Quote, Florida's taking action to stand against the United States' greatest geopolitical threat, the Chinese Communist Party. I'm proud to sign this legislation to stop the purchase of our farmland and our land near military bases and critical infrastructure by Chinese agents, to stop sensitive digital data from being stored in China, and to stop the CCP influence in our educational system from grade school to grad school. We are following through on our commitment to crack down on communist China. Bada bing. So at a press conference where he signed the bills, DeSantis noticed the numerous advantages that China has over the U.S., including how their government creates an unfair trading relationship with the U.S. Quote, part of the reason we're in this predicament is because elites in our own country for a generation have sought short-term profits over long-term interests. Good point. They thought, you know, people were making money, and that was good for some. But they don't have a long view of how it would work in terms of America's industrial base here at home or America's security abroad. Well, that sounds rather presidential. So, good for him. You know, the governor's latest actions against the Chinese builds off of legislation that he created way back in 2021. It wasn't all that long ago. And those laws, I mean, there's one, two, three. I don't have the time to get into them now. Four, five, six, seven, eight were very specific and very hard-hitting against the Chinese Communist Party. Good for Ron DeSantis, whether he runs for president or not. All right, give it a couple of minutes. Philip Teresi will be in to talk about what's coming up in the next 4 hours on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, and not the Ray Appleton program, because it'll be their program. him and E. You get it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Ladies and gentle people, I just want to give you the Daily Buzz question one more time before I get out of here, because it's so weird. At least I think so, growing up in this neighborhood. The Daily Buzz question goes like this. Turning part of Manchester Center into housing, good idea or bad idea? Let us know. KMJNow.com. I grew up in this area. I was over by the Veterans Hospital. And I remember as a small, tiny child, because my grandparents were very close to the developer of Manchester Center, going over there and watching from my grandfather's pink Cadillac as this place was being built up. And to think housing, I mean, it doesn't print with me, but you answer that question and we'll take it from there. The gods of architecture and development will take over at that point. All right. Where is it going for the remainder of the day? Philip Teresi is here to elaborate.
We got quite a bit of ground to cover. Of course, that jury came back and found that Trump's liable for battery in that civil trial brought by E. Jean Carroll. So we'll talk about the verdict, what it does and does not mean, and what the appeal process might look like for former President Trump. Then we're going to transition to Hunter Biden arranging meetings between dad and a Rosemont-connected business associate. There is a mile-long trail of correspondence.
That Devin Archer?
Yeah. Stephanopoulos talks about a poll that just came in that even Stephanopoulos called brutal for President Biden. And those two are kind of married to one another because public opinion of him is tied to this Biden crime family narrative. We've got Fresno State beginning a stadium renovation. And I'm curious to get folks' reaction to the decision to move forward with the stadium renovation after the effort to convince the community just a year ago that it was absolutely positively necessary to pass Measure E so that there would be bond money to do this project that's now going to be done anyway. And how does that look for Measure E in 2024? Because it's coming back.
You and I are on the same page with that, brother.
I suspect that we are. And it's finally happening. You know, everybody's been twiddling their thumbs saying, yeah, okay, when's AI going to start affecting actual human employment? Well, Wendy's has entered into a partnership with Google to train AI to be your order taker at drive-thru.
Mm-hmm. That's called minimum wage. Necessitates that.
Yeah. The initial output for this kind of technology is going to be expensive. And then past that initial outlay, there's no more workers' comp. There's no more sick days. There's no more arguing with a customer. It's just, give them the input, feed it to the cooks, and have a body ready to hand the bag out the next window.
I love it.
Reparations story. I've got a great op-ed from the great-granddaughter of a Chinese immigrant who was a part of the scene here in California and was not treated well. Not quite outright slavery, but definitely a victim of 19th century racism in California. And this granddaughter says, no, reparations is not the correct path for African Americans, for Chinese, for Native Americans. It's a non-starter. It's not fiscally responsible, not socially responsible.
I know that's a good piece. I didn't get to it, so more power to you.
And then we got that children's book author in Utah. This lady wrote a book about grieving. How does a child grieve when they lose a parent? Well, her inspiration was the loss of her husband. She's now been charged with his murder.
Oh, no. I missed that. Really?
Hell of a way to do research,
huh? Oh, jeez. I shouldn't be laughing. That's sad. Okay, it's all coming up.
Yes, sir.
With I want to hear that one. Philip and E, a little bit later today on KMJ. They'll kick it off just after 2. The negotiation going on, you know, and with between the right and the left with the debt ceiling that began today. I have no clue, you know, what's going on there. We'll probably find out tomorrow. But I wanted to go through some of the things of how the dominoes are going to fall if we the worst happens with the debt ceiling. And with Dr. Penberra coming on at noon, touchdown, I'm glad I kind of saved it for then. And we can talk about that with him. But, I mean, the most obvious thing that we'll see in the very beginning when it looks like the handwriting is on the wall is a lot of market turbulence. And the market is beginning a little turbulent now. Also, the other story that I didn't have time to get into today, I doubt that it's going to have any effect on the debt ceiling negotiations. The White House and Joe Biden are begging CEOs that are friendly to them, allegedly, to pressure the Republicans to cave on the debt ceiling by saying, all right, we're not going to put any, you know, spending cuts on the table, which is complete doo-doo. First off, I don't know of a CEO that would want that because they're very much in line with the economy and what's going on. I would think any reputable CEO of a major company would want spending cuts pronto, you know, before that it's just too much goes out the window to the Chinese and we get nothing back. And one of these days they're going to call all that debt in, you know? But for some reason, they figure that CEOs is the way to go after Republicans and to get them to change their mind on seeking, you know, spending cuts. So they're sitting down, you know, whether it's still going on or not, I doubt it's on the East Coast. But this first session, I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow about how it went with McCarthy and Biden on the, you know, and Biden's got his, excuse me, McCarthy has his Limit, Save, and Grow Act, which would lift the debt ceiling through early next year, but at the same time save the government an estimated $4.8 trillion over the next 10 years, which I think is highly important. How much of that McCarthy is going to be able to drill out of the left, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, Biden's Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, is personally calling these CEOs to urge them to put pressure on the Republicans, and this is according to Reuters. I mean, Yellen is calling the CEOs from the financial sector and the broader economy to warn them about the danger of the consequences of the current brinkmanship that's going on. But I think they are well aware what's going to happen if we don't pay our debts. I think probably they're more well aware than me or you or anybody else. That's why I'm confused about why CEOs have been targeted to speak to Republicans and tell them to cool it on, you know, the spending cuts. Strange stuff. Strange stuff. We'll discuss tomorrow. Tomorrow, Dr. Joseph Penberra at noon. Steve Hilton pushed from 1 o'clock today to 1 o'clock tomorrow. Going to be a big day with smart, intelligent guests and a host that's, you know, he's okay, this guy, Appleton. He's kind of smart, sort of. See ya.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm gonna be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.